Right, now watch this turn. Indicator left, down the slope. What a shot. What a shot, is it? Oh, would you believe that? Rory McIlroy. What a round of golf. It's one outside the Augusta course record.
Good evening, golf fans. Welcome back to the PFD show. We have reached the final major of the season, the Open Championship. I'm joined by my colleagues, Jack and Mark. Fellas, we're also joined again by Mr. MVP, Kurt, back for another major show. We can only book him for majors. We can only afford those four appearances a year, not one. Maybe the Ryder Cup might convince you for that.
I love it. Is it to me? Is it to me?
Anyone, just anyone take the wheel at this stage.
Nick, I mean, I know we all got a lot of energy going into it, so I'll take it out the gate. Glad to be back on with you guys. It's just crazy. It's the last major of the year. I think I said a couple weeks back on the golf show, like, it's flying by. The great thing is there's not much of an off season, but like, it's our last major for a long, long time. And I personally don't love the new landscape of the playoff with only it being 75 for the first round or the whatever. What's the first one? It's not FedEx. Yeah, the FedEx is the first one. I wish it was still like the 100 or whatever. But yeah, needless to say, we got to take advantage of it, you know, and it's my favorite personally because I get to wake up at my 5 a.m. and all I missed was like first 12-ish holes, the guys that went out first. So very excited to get after it. And it just so happened to be my most profitable and my biggest classic golf sweat. So happy to be back, ready to get after it. I'm glad to be on with someone who walked the course today, Mr. Nick. Can't wait to hear more about that. But yeah, thank you guys for having me on. Let's get it.
And I have walked every blade of that course, let me tell you. From 7 a.m. till 6 p.m. we'll get to that. But I wasn't on last week's show. I was sunning it in Tunisia. Jack, Mark, let's talk some Scottish Open at the Renaissance course, which I saw little clips on Twitter between mediocre to poor Wi-Fi. How did everyone get on last week?
Well, yeah, I had all sorts of issues with the audio. Yeah, like, there you go. Nick, I just want to just quickly, before you answer that, Jack, sorry, I think you'll want to join me in this, in paying tribute to Nick. One thing he's been sort of keeping very quiet is about his great sporting achievement when he was away in Tunisia. I want to set the scene here for people. Nick was challenged on the table tennis table by a 10-year-old girl, and it was a best of five, and she went 2-0 up. But Nick came back. He showed a bit of intestinal fortitude, came back, won 3-2. Now, I know you're laughing, but this wasn't an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old. This was a 10-year-old. So, you know, fair play, Nick. If we had a budget to, you know, get your T-shirt or trophy, if we hadn't spent it all on Kurt, then we would have done. But, you know, well done, Nick. You've done us all proud.
What's funny about that is, ironically, exactly the same thing happened to my dad when I was younger. I went to Tunisia, and he also played a young lad, but that was at tennis, not table tennis. And this young lad absolutely schooled my dad. Apparently, he was like a tennis player for his county or something. This girl was also a tennis player and saw me absolutely whooping Amy on the table, tennis table. So came over and said, can I play a point with you? So I was like, yeah, cool. This girl was actually quite good at table tennis.
Not good enough though, Nick. You won 3-2.
When she went 2-0 up, I was like, come on, you cannot let this happen. Like, no mercy. Just do it. And I won and I shook her hand. I was like, you're really good, but I'm sorry, you're not good enough. And walked it off, went back to my lounger and sunned myself like the king that I was in that moment.
Yes. Did you have a bit of a swagger as you was walking back to the lounger?
It was very Conor McGregor, that walk back to the lounger, flailing around everywhere.
10 years of age, Jack. A whole 10 years of age. You know?
I'm really proud of you, Nick.
And I quote, she said, if you are British, why are you not playing at Wimbledon? God's honest truth, I was like, I'm blown away by that comment, but I'm not that good.
Would you take a ping pong back to Wimbledon with you then?
Yeah, is there a Wimbledon of table tennis?
I'll be that good. Yeah, I am that good.
The biggest mistake you made, Nick, of course, was telling me and Jack.
This is the first thing that I did. Came back to my lounger and was like, lads, you'll never believe this.
I think I put in the WhatsApp, I was very proud that you beat a 10-year-old girl 3-2, best of five. And I still feel that as well, Nick, you know, just, you know, testament to you and everything. So there you go. should we get back some DFS at some point? Go on, Jack.
Yeah, no, it was a weird week, but still worked out profitable in the end. Lots of players that we talked about on the show, Mark. I had a lot of Hatton, Bobby Mack, Scotty as well, Scotty Scheffler. So, yeah, I was there or thereabouts, had no Rory. I just thought he was going to use it as a tune-up, went and won it, which was annoying because I wanted to bet him last week for the Open. I waited because I was kind of hoping he'd miss the cut, and then he went and won the Scottish. So, not great there, but he's very live again this week. But yeah, good week, very profitable all around. Good showdown call on the Friday in the Discord for the that dropped for the friends of the show. That was gave us a bit of a sweat down the stretch, that one. But I cashed 3 days out of four on showdown as well, so very happy. Good week.
Yeah, well done, Jack, on the 3 out of 4 and. The other 1 out of 4 probably doesn't need discussing any further.
I'll just tell you about my game week. Don't worry about it. I'll just tell you about my game week.
Yeah.
Don't poke the bear, Nick.
I thought you handled it really well, to be fair.
That's okay. Yeah. Oh, I did. Yeah.
I would have told him I was going to. Oh.
Go on, Kurt. Go for it.
I would have told him something I used to tell people. When I lined up across from him in football, and it's just something I can't say live because it's extremely
I like it.
It's extremely morbid. But I would have just gone off. I would have gone on my burner and just lit the guy up for sure.
This is the thing. I don't even do it off a burner. Yeah, I would just do it off of my own account. I don't care. The guy's a virgin. He lives in his mum's basement. End of. Let's move on.
The thing is, like, does he expect everyone to cash every day? I'm not sure. Like,
apparently, when you're dropping 3 cores out of 4 that cash, like if you'd use them cores wisely,
the thing is, I'm not gonna post every day, like that's annoying. But when I have a really good core one day, yeah, I'm gonna like post it. And the bad cores, that doesn't make sense because I don't post the bad cores because I don't post the very mediocre cores that do okay for min cash. So, like, bro, like you just that guy's entire mindset was just what the hell.
Yeah.
I thought you handled it decent though, because I would have probably threatened the guy and got kicked off Twitter. So
luckily I have Mark advising me half the time to get me calmed down. So
I'm a bit confused here. Are you guys not winning every day?
Yeah, like turns out we haven't won the Noimaker. Like, yeah, it's like White Lightning is back, baby. That's my burner.
We are this week. I'm just gonna stick a train in the Millie Maker this week and chop it. That's it, right at the top. 10-team train.
Just to have a sweat in the Millie Maker, and then, like, say you had the absolute nut worst run out on Sunday, just to have, like, the 3-day sweat in the Millie Maker would be so fun. Even if you end up only winning, like, $100 on come Sunday, I think it would be such a cool thing to have a sweat 3 days. I've never really had a true sweat in the Millie Maker, but
I had one here last year at the Open. I was 17th on Saturday night.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would take that.
I did hate it. I was winning $16,000.
No, I would take it. I'd be happy.
Well, no, but I was winning $16,000 on Saturday night, and then Sunday it wasn't $16,000. I had Victor Hovland and Rory McIlroy in the lineup. I remember it vividly, like it was yesterday. Yeah, it wasn't fun watching them two just go round even par the whole day.
My favourite DFS slates are the ones that happen when I'm asleep, so I don't get the hope that kills me.
Right,
you just get the final result at the end. On the golf, I'd happily fast forward my life to the Sunday evening and just see where I was.
Just get the email, Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
Your account has been credited, and then you go in there, and it's $3.
Yeah, 20 cents.
Scottish Open, Jack, I know there was a couple of things you wanted to get off your chest about the Scottish Open, so you might as well get those.
I was really off my chest. I think everyone was kind of in agreement with the Sam Burns thing in the end. Where he stuck it into the bank on that bunker and then, you know, tried to get free relief off of it for 10 minutes, held everyone up, and then they just were like, no, you're not. You've just got to hit that where it is, basically. But it was all because of the shot before at the back of the bunker. I don't know what he was attempting to do, trying to. It looked like he's trying to hit a four iron out of the bunker, the fairway bunker. It was an absolutely stupid shot. He deserved everything he got, and I'm glad the officials ruled it the right way, in my opinion. And I think a lot of people are in agreement with that as well. You know, you deserved everything you got for playing the stupid shot before it. And then the weather. Well, I mean, what is this with the weather? Like, are these guys just not allowed to play in wind?
Yeah.
It's a Lynx golf course. That is the defence of the golf course, is the weather. I didn't get it, moving all them tee times up. I mean, it was quite nice in the end as a viewer watching experience, because it was over within 6 hours on that day. Like, it was quite nice to watch. But
Live golf, you mean?
Yeah, we've got live golf. Yeah. But I don't get it. Are we not allowed to play in wind or rain, you know? I get it, there's lightning storms in the air and things like that, but, you know, it's stupid. This is golf.
I've come full circle where, like, I never really truly like Birdie Fest. My thing was always, I like weeks like this where 1500 gets it done. But yeah. I've kind of come back more on Jack's side, where it's like, I want there to be holes where it's like, you get out there with a bogey and you're like, well, at least it wasn't a double, you know? Yeah. Like tough, like holes like that. And I think hopefully we'll have that a little bit here this week. I know Michael Kim was saying it's not going to be that firm, which, if you kind of just keep it in the fairway, like we somewhat saw at the U.S. Open, we won't see the scores like that. But if you keep it in the fairway, you can really attack the course. Hoping that's not the kind of the same issue we have here. But needless to say, try to get after it. I want some carnage, though.
Yeah, most definitely.
I think the thing is, as well, is it's the Scottish Open. It's Scotland. The weather, 98% of the time in Scotland, is wind or rain. Like, you if you're playing the Open there, the Scottish Open there, those are the conditions you're going to have to deal with. Oh, it's just mind-blowing. Like, a sunny day is rare in Scotland. It really is.
You know, every time they do this, it winds me up. They've done it at Pebble Beach earlier in the year, and then they've done it at the Players' Championship last year. And then they gave a wave at the Players' Championship a massive, massive advantage. It's just annoying when you bet on it and you play DFS. Like, it's just stupid. Like, just send them out in it. Let them play in it. Golf's supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be easy.
Yeah. Let's talk the Open then this week. So we are headed to Royal Liverpool, commonly known as Hoylake. This will be a familiar course for people, as the Open obviously has been played here many times, and most recent winner being Rory McIlroy. Jack, can you give us a bit of a rundown of what to expect from this course?
Yeah, it's going to be a small rundown because you've been there today, so you're going to give us the proper rundown.
Yeah, really?
So, yeah, as Nick says, the last major of the year, the Open Championship, we head to Royal Liverpool in Hoylake, Merseyside, Liverpool. This was originally designed by Robert Chambers and George Morris in 1871. There was a big, big redesign done on it by Martin Ebert in 2020. Part of the redesign, lengthening of holes, massive change, like hole 17 is a completely brand new hole. I watched the flyover for it last night with Padraig Harrington playing it. It looks quite fun, especially if the wind comes across the Irish Sea there. That looks a very, very fun hole to play. You don't want to be in the pot bunkers to the right of it, the right of the green, definitely not there. But that new hole looks fun. I also believe hole 10, as part of the redesign, was changed from a par 5 to a par 4. But it's a long, long par 4 now. It's like 507-yard par 4. This is a par 71. This course, 7,383 yards long. Water comes into play on one hole here. The fairways are fescue. The rough is that tall, thick fescue here. The greens, they're quite slow, but they're just a mixed blend of bent grass, poa, and fescue. For a links test, it's quite a flat golf course. I've heard it's quite an easy walk, this golf course. So a lot of people were saying that outside of Augusta, if Tiger come here, for instance, this might have been the one on the open rota that he could have won because it's quite a flat test. There's like not many sand dunes about here, basically. The hazards are real, though. We've got lots of those pot bunkers that we saw last week at the Scottish Open. They're a bit more deadly here, I think, as well. We've got the tall fescue rough, and there's out of bounds on six holes here, which seems to be a bit of a subject on Twitter at the minute about the out of bounds that I saw before we come on air tonight. I think the cut mark's probably going to linger around 2 over to 1 over. I think the winning score's going to be about 13 under this week. Nick, you've been there. You can tell us all about hole 17, that par 3.
I have, yeah. So I'll start with the par 3s. There's no easy par 3 on this course. The 17th is by far the shortest, and it looks tiny. It says 136 with wind. It's probably playing maybe 150-ish, maybe even 155. But it looks tiny. Like, I was stood on that green watching them tee off, and yeah, to the right is the worst miss. I think if you're right, you're off in that bunker. Horrible. There's the bunker to the left of it, which isn't as bad. If you're short, there isn't really a bunker at the front, but there is like a sandy kind of dune-ish, and there's a lot of thick grass there. So if you're landing it short on the green, it's just going to roll backwards into that. It is a fun hole. It is short, but I've seen so many people go right and land short today.
From what I saw yesterday on the video, if you go right on that hole, depending where the pin is, I think you are looking at a bogey or worse.
I've seen bunker to bunker today.
Yeah.
I've seen someone come out the right bunker into the left.
Yeah.
There's one pin position that'll be quite interesting where the pin's right at the back of the green. Just don't even bother taking that on. Just land it on the green anywhere.
Yeah.
There was a tee shot where it literally landed and it would have been about 3 feet away from the hole, and you'd be happy with a birdie on that day. The pin is towards the sort of middle or front of the green. There is enough at the back where you can be a little bit long, and there is a slight roll down off the back of the green as well. It's a really fun hole. Like I said, the par threes, none of them are easy. The sixth is a toughie because you could be into wind on the sixth. If you're getting that kind of wind coming across the Irish Sea, like you said, Jack, the sixth is still kind of in, but it's kind of facing that coastline. So it's a longish one as well at 201. Seen quite a few short on that one today. Also seen quite a few go left on it. Can't remember if it was Sam Burns, but there was someone practicing bunker shots in the left bunker there. Hit 3 shots, tried to just kind of trickle it over the top of the bunker onto the green. All 3 times, the ball rolled back in. The par threes, like I said, none are easy. All are pretty long in length for par threes. Course itself, I think the front nine is the easier play because you're a bit more inland on the front nine. Some of those holes, there's a couple of doglegs in there. The third, I think, is a dogleg. The fifth is I think the fifth is a 520-ish yards par five. The difficulty with the course is the bunkers, where the bunkers are situated. Not a lot of driver I saw today on the holes. Like McIlroy was hitting two iron a lot. I followed Justin Rose towards the end of the day. He was hitting two iron a lot. Some of the golfers were actually hitting, say, a two iron or a wood, then getting the driver out and seeing where they could end up and finding that actually you can end up in quite a bit of trouble if you're not in the right area. There's one hole, I think it's the longest hole, the 15th, I think it is. Driver essential off the tee, and yeah, you might have a bit of wind behind, but I watched the Koepka DJ and Woodland group. Woodland's absolutely sprayed to both to the left in the rough. Forget about it. You're probably not finding your ball. Well, obviously they will, because there'll be someone pointing to it, but average golfer, I'd have just been like, yeah, those are gone. Koepka and DJ both hit decent drives. I think Koepka ended up in the bunker. It's like driver essential, like I said, but literally where they're landing, there's like four bunkers around that area. Five, maybe even. I think there's actually three on the left, two on the right. So you're in trouble if you're not in the middle of the fairway. And the fairways are narrow, like you said, Jack, really narrow. The rough's not really long. I think it was longer in 2014 than it is now. It's benefited a little bit from the rain that we've had. But the rough wasn't really long. Some of the rough might be a bit routine. Some of it will be a bit challenging. The hardest bit of the course, I think, is the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, because that is all coming back along the course line. You're right in what you said, Jack, as well. Pretty flat course, but it does get a little bit more duney on the course, so that is difficult there. But if you're getting wind there, like early morning, there wasn't much wind, so the golfers that teed off early were finding success. From about 10 o'clock till about 4 o'clock, it did nothing but rain, and gusts were about 15 to 17 miles per hour. It's going to be challenging on them holes. You're going to find a lot of balls going right as you're coming back along that course line. But yeah, really nice course. As Kurt said, I think if you're accurate this week off the tee and you're landing on the fairway, splitting the bunkers essentially, you can attack the course. The greens are soft. They might firm up a bit because I think the weather's okay over the next couple of days, but they won't be super firm greens. But there is runoff, and there's them pot bunkers everywhere. You just want to get out of them. You don't want to be. Yeah. There won't be a lot of attacking bunker play this week. But really nice course. Really, really nice course.
Yeah. Should we have a look at the models?
Why not? It's tall golfers. if there's any here as well that I've seen today, I'll let you know how they played. Top, we've got Scottie Scheffler, McIlroy, John Rahm.
Do you want to look at the models?
Oh, of course. 2 weeks off and I'm just like, nah, forget that. No models.
He's been away for a week. Already forgotten again.
Yeah, let's look at models then. Jack?
Well, like you mentioned, driving accuracy. I'm heavily weighting that in my model this week. When Tiger won here in 2006, I appreciate it's a bit of a different course now, but when he won here in 2006, he used the driver on one hole, which was the first hole. He bogeyed the hole. He put the driver back in the bag for the rest of the round. So that was it. Never used it again. You have to be accurate. Like, there can be a lot of two iron shots, them stinger shots this week, and yeah, my favorite shot in golf, so I'm looking forward to that. Strokes gained approach, the proximity buckets of 175 to 200 and 200 plus yards. There's some long holes, like Nick has mentioned, out here this week. strokes gained around the green. I've got some sand save percentage because then pot bunkers are no joke. Strokes gained putting on slow greens. I've got the lag putting, the approach putting. Strokes gained total on hard golf courses, and then a couple of the comp courses I'm looking at. I'm just looking at all open venues, Murrayfield and TPC Sawgrass.
Kurt?
Kurt's on mute.
I don't remember doing that, but I'm not dabbling too much in the miles this week. I'm kind of just, I'm conscious of off the tee, but for the most part, I'm letting it rip. I wanted to kind of change it up a little bit because I know last year, like, you kind of spray it because the freaking, the fairways were like I-95, just wide open. But this, I'm taking a step back this major, not doing much miles. I want to be conscious of off the tee and kind of just letting it freaking rip. I want to try something different. I want to ship, okay? And I'm not ship classic in, like, I feel like a cat in the calendar year. So time to get a little weird.
Fair enough, Mark.
I've gone the opposite way and added an extra model for this week. So as well as my usual course fit and my weekly model, I've also created an off-the-tee model because I just wanted to sort of be able to separate out those players from all the other stats. So, yeah, I mean, in the main model, all the same, pretty much all the same stuff as Jack. I always still play fantasy points gained as well for a little bit as well, extra. But, yeah, all the other stuff, usual stuff, fairways gained, etc. as well. I think I didn't think Jack said good drive percentages, things like that. But, yeah, all very similar. I say, but I real focus on off the tee where I say I separated it all out. So I'll be referring to that when talking about golfers.
Very good. Very good. Let's talk golfers then. Now we can talk golfers. So the highest priced golfer in the field, Scottie Scheffler at 12,500, followed by McIlroy at 11,900, John Rahm at 11,200. Let's just talk these three first of all, because then there's a range below and then we dip into the nines. So Jack, you've been quite high on Rory over the past week from...
Listen to last week's show.
From what I've seen, you were on about betting him, but though I think he's won the Scottish and you were kind of off him a little bit. So you can take the lead on this. These three, who is it you'll be playing?
Well, I said on last week's show that I was going to bet him. Rory, this is. But then he went and I have bet him anyway. I got a 8-1 in the end boosted on bet365, but which I didn't mind because I do think he's gonna win the Open this week, which is what I said last week. So I've been on him a little bit longer than a week, so but I'm playing Scottie Scheffler in a DFS, don't care the ownership, don't care the price. Six top fives in his most recent starts. His Open history is pretty decent as well. He was 21st at St Andrews last year, 8th the year before that in 2021. Green across the board, gain strokes at a ridiculous rate, accurate off the tee. The only place that he's losing the strokes, and we all know it, is with the putter. That's it. I'm playing Scottie Scheffler this week.
Mark, any advance on Scottie Scheffler?
Not particularly. I mean, he's number one in my main model, so what would I do anything different there? It's just I don't know how it's amazing in golf to be that consistent with those seconds and thirds all the time. Just staggering. And you know, this is an unusual course. Maybe the putting won't be so make such a difference or something. As we always say, he just has to be a poor putter and he's probably gonna win. I'm interested if anybody's playing John Rahm, to be honest with you.
I do find the Rahm question interesting because the ownership right now is, well, he's certainly coming in the third lowest owned out of these three. His Open history is not the best though. Best performance was third in 2021, but before that, it's a few missed cuts and sort of middle finishes for him there. But last time out we saw him was at the Travelers as well. He's had a long, long rest for this run. I'm interested in his mindset. If I wasn't going on holiday, I would be watching a lot of it and if he was sort of in the right frame of mind, I might have to bet him, but in play. But I won't be able to see where I am. But I just don't know if he has. He can lose his temper very quickly, John Rahm. And I think this is a golf course that can do that to you with the wrong bounces and things like that. So the ownership's interesting, but I don't know. I'm just going to stick with Scotty, I think. Kurt?
I mean, sticking with Scotty is great and all if he wasn't fucking $1,300 more. I mean, like, I'm not playing. You won't find Scotty or Rory in any of my lineups this week unless it's like single entry. I can get John Rahm for much cheaper. In a place where off the tee is huge. Like, I'm taking. I mean, obviously, I think he's better than Rory. I don't know what the stats show, but it's probably even with Scotty. But like, John Rahm off the tee for $1,300. In what world? Like, I know he's been amazing, but.
Accuracy-wise, Kurt, he's better than Rory.
Yeah, it has to be like the best in the world. Like, if you combine accuracy and besides Scotty,
Scotty's the best.
Okay, yeah,
he's just on a ridiculous run, Scotty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not playing either of those guys up top. Rory, mostly because the ownership is, I assume, is going to creep up to 39, 40. What's he coming out right now?
Well, got him around about 25% at the minute, but I mean, that's going to. Yeah.
Okay. I won't be playing either of those two. Even in three max, I'm not playing either of those two. Like, they might, and that's not even for certain yet. They might enter my single entry lineup. But now I'm going Rahm up top, a little bit of Brooksy, and then Hovland, and that's where I'm kind of planting the flag at right there. So different out the gate. And like I said, Scotty's been awesome, but it's just that price. There is not a chance. It ain't happening. I'm not paying that much. I'm not paying $5,500 for freaking Alex Fitzpatrick, fucking jam in, freaking Scotty, when I can just go get Rahm and like Hovland together. Like, no.
The energy's back. The energy's back.
God.
I built a nice lineup earlier with Scheffler and Hatton, to be fair. And I didn't have to go into the 5K range at all.
Yeah, so Hatton was your second. I actually don't mind that. Yeah. If you're going to do it. But then that leads to the point where like, that kind of funnels the build that way naturally. So you're going to already have a build that's like pretty similar-ish.
Yeah.
You can get different. Maybe. You can obviously get different. Like you can play four chalk and get different the last two spots, but it is funneling kind of a certain type of build. Whereas I don't want to be blocked in my MME stuff. I don't want to be blocked in to one specific type of build with the if I play 40% Scotty, 40% of builds are going to be like that. I don't want that. I want to have like five or six different type of builds and I just can't do that. Yeah, this is going to be the week he wins, so
because the pricing's different. The way they've done the pricing, you've got a lot more above the 10K, and obviously you've got this going down to 5.5K.
I do think it's cool though.
It changes the dynamics of how the rosters are going to be built though, and stuff a little bit. And you know, it might sound daft, but it could be that the top lineups are only going to have one of the say the top five in there or something like that. It could be just because the way the maths works out and stuff this week. I don't think it will be like that, but it could be. So it's very interesting, I think, from that point of view. And I think if ever there's a week to get it different, this is a week, but I'm still playing Scotty.
The thing is, I've come here. I've been playing Scotty the whole time. I've been playing a lot of Scotty the whole time, and I'm hopping off. I know that historically, guys at this price at places that aren't Mexico with John Rahm have not really been that well. I mean, obviously a lot of the guys weren't on historic type runs like this, but I don't care. I'm kind of leaning into that and I don't want to pay for it. So congrats on the Scotty Scheffler win, by the way, you guys.
I bet him as well.
I like that. Hey,
you might not need him to win a takedown tournament though.
I beg to differ.
We'll see. We'll find out.
Wait. What are you saying? You think? Oh, you don't need him to win. What do you think you need him to do?
You don't need him to win. You might not need the winner to win potentially just because of the way it's different this week. The maths is very different.
I think it being different, it means you do need Scotty at that 12-5 tag. I think you
need. No, that's not what I meant. No. I mean, you might not be the winner of the tournament.
Yes. So I was exactly. Yes. So I was talking to my buddy earlier. Sorry. I was saying, let's say Scotty wins this tournament, but he has one bad round, so he doesn't get the all-round under 70. He doesn't really have that many streaks. He doesn't really have all those the bogey few rounds and stuff like that, but he wins the tournament. I said there will be a scenario where if the other guys up top do well and he doesn't have all those extra points, that Scotty could win and him not be optimal this week. Yeah, I think that's very, very likely.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another reason why I'm fading him.
Yeah, but yeah. It's all because they've got so many above the 10K and they've got the below the 6K.
I was thinking we were on the same page there. I was just like,
yeah, I know. Amazing. We took a while to get there.
Interestingly, Ram was in a three ball today with Mickelson. Spoke to Mickelson quite a bit, which I thought was interesting because of the live stuff that's happened recently. But he actually finished. He teed off in the afternoon, so he was in where all the rain was, and it was quite heavy as he was coming off. But he left the group and played the last couple of holes alone, and just spent the ninth hole just literally chipping from all around the green.
He seems locked in. I think he wants to end the span. I think he wants to get the first. He wants to be the first Spaniard to win this championship, and I think he's in good spirits. I think he's ready to do it. Let's go.
Well, I said before.
I'm glad you can tell Nick. That just got me even more hyped up. You're gonna
all in on John Rahm.
If this convinces you anymore, I said just before the show that John Rahm was one of the very, very few players I've seen today literally come off from his round and be like, "Really sorry, I need to get back to the clubhouse." Didn't sign any autographs for any of the kids or anything like. Literally, just like boom.
Screw them kids, baby. Get locked in, Johnny boy. Screw the kids. Kids aren't eating tonight. Woo! Let's go.
Let's talk about the next range then. So then we've got Cameron Smith, last year's winner at 10-7. Brooks Koepka, who, let me tell you, was absolutely thrilled when he found out that he was paired with Cantlay. It was hilarious. He's literally showing DJ and Woodland his phone and they were like, well, karma. Karma for what? I don't know. They must have had some little bet going on a different hole. Xander Schauffele at 10,100, Victor Hovland at 10,000. So this range then, I'll kick off with you, Kurt, in this range, seeing as you're not playing Scotty, unless it's single entry, as you said. These 10,000s then, are you dipping in here?
Yeah, so I'm playing Vic here and Brooksy, but it's mostly Rahm and Victor for me. Within a slight Brooks. I think if hitting out those pot bunkers is going to be so difficult for everyone, and like Sky says, basically automatic like one-stroke penalty, that evens the playing field for Vic, who's also terrible. And I think that he can avoid hacking at it, if Rory's a one-stroke penalty, then fine. Vic can get the one-stroke penalty just as easily as everyone else, just chip right out. I think it kind of evens the playing field and makes it not as much emphasis on how bad his short game is. But then we get a big emphasis on how well he can drive the ball and keep it in the fairway. So give me some Victor Hovland this week.
Interesting. Mark, I'll come to you next.
I was going to go with Victor as well. He's the player I've got like highlighted as well. Decent open majors history as well, generally. We kind of know about that. Yep, I do like him. He's ranking very highly in everything I'm really interested in as well. So,
Jack, are you completing the hat trick?
Yeah, I am. I'm with Kurt. It's Brooks and Vic for me, but Vic is probably my priority in this range. Like Mark said, he's got a good open history. Fourth last year, 12th year before that. Vic and then Brooks for me in that range. Don't really like Xander. Just done a bit of a deeper dive into Xander. Actually, he's losing a lot of strokes around the green in these last few events. So yeah, I'm probably off of Xander. I think Xander's fine. If you just want kind of a safe play up here, I would presume that Xander will make the cut, but I don't think he's going to be in contention really. And then the one that I would say be careful of, because he's getting a lot of steam, like betting wise, is Cameron Smith. He ranked 44th. Out of 48 golfers at Live London on driving accuracy off the tee. You can't be doing that here. Like Pat Mayo says it a lot about Cam Smith, that he's probably the best golfer in the world if you don't count the off the tee stats, which is true. He probably is. Like putting wise, he's just electric, but you cannot be spraying that like that off the tee here. you will find yourself in a lot of trouble. St Andrews, where he won last year, is a completely different golf course to this.
Yeah. Just talking about spraying it off the tee, Jack, as well, because I know we mentioned this briefly before the show, about there's been some noise about the in-play out of bounds, that people aren't happy with that. Having been at that course today, it is quite clear to see why they've done it on the holes that they have. And it's basically to stop golfers just going straight over the corners. Literally, like, it's bringing the bunkers back into play and literally challenging you to play it down the fairway. If they didn't have that, this course would be so much easier.
I think a lot of what people don't get is that these golf courses are built around small towns as well. They're not, there's no room to maneuver them now. Like, they are what they are. So you can't make them longer as such, you know. The out of bounds thing is just silly. You need to make it hard. Back to what we were saying at the beginning, why are we trying to make these things easier for these golfers? It shouldn't be easy. It's a major championship. It should be bloody hard to win.
Agreed. I just, after seeing that today, I was like, it's quite obvious why they've done that. I don't really see why people have got an issue with it. Like, it's making the course more difficult. Perfect. That's what we want. We want to see the bunkers in play. We want to see people going in them bunkers. If they're not accurate off the tee, as you said. Right, this 9K range then. So I'll just run down the names. So we've got Cantlay, Fowler, Spieth. Very nice guy, Jordan Spieth, by the way. Quite surprised at that, given the amount he moans. Morikawa, Fitzpatrick, Tyrrell Hatton, Fleetwood, Dustin Johnson, Shane Lowry, and Cameron Young round out the 9K range. So I'll come back to Jack for this one.
Tyrrell Hatton, I've already mentioned it, it's my favourite. I think it's him or Scheffler that wins this week, or Rory, personally. One of them three. I think one of them three is going to win this week.
John Rahm.
I would love John Rahm. John Rahm is my favourite golfer on the tour. I would love John Rahm to win it. And his comments today about them just stop oil protesters was just brilliant. John Rahm is me, basically. I love him. He's my favourite golfer on the tour. I would love him to win it. But, yeah, in this range, Nick, it's Tyrrell. The run that he's been on is fantastic. Got himself in contention again last week at the Scottish. Thing with Tyrrell at the minute, he seems to have one of these sort of blow-up rounds where he just sort of gives himself a lot of work to do on the last day, so to speak. But we've seen it a couple of times where it was at the Canadian Open, he shot like 10 under in the last round to get himself back up there. And then he did it. He was trying to do it last week at the Scottish. As a backer, I was saying this on Twitter, as a backer, Tyrrell quite often, he'll give you a good run for your money. So I like him this week. He'll love the setup. Good open history. He's been sixth in 2019, 11th last year at St Andrews. The recent form's just off the chart. He's playing the best golf of his career at the minute. Very accurate off the tee. Green across the board. The ownership's going to be quite high on Tyrrell, but I don't really care. There's probably a bit of chalk I'm going to eat there, to be honest.
Interesting. Kurt?
I got a couple in this range. So with going Rahm and starting my lineups there, I can do like a start with Rahm Hovland, Rahm Cantlay, and it leaves me like over 7.2 per. So I like that. I like him up the top there. And then I'm going, I'm going Hatton and Fleetwood. I have a problem. I always play these guys. And the thing is, I can play them at their elevated ownership because I'm fading Rory and Scotty. And most people will have Roy, Scotty, and then go those two. Well, I'm going to kind of do the opposite where I can do Rahm, those guys, and then play a bunch of 6K guys. And he'd be a little different. I really like Dustin Johnson. This, man, low 9Ks, they sucker me in every time, bro. I play all these guys. I'm going to have some Dustin Johnson, and then I'm going to wrap it up with Cam Young.
Oh, no.
Yep, he's back. He's back. So what's funny is I didn't play him at all of his bullshit. And then I played him at, where was it?
John Deere.
I played him with the John Deere, yeah. He was like, I had him like 80% owned.
Oh, no.
And I got that. So everyone had to do with him getting like 80th and 50th. And I was like, I haven't played Cam Young in a while. This is a bad field. I bet he finds it this week. Eighth place, 80% owned. I'll take it. So yeah, I think he maybe found something with that little shit course. I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna have like, he'll be a guy I have like 1.5x on or 2x. Nothing crazy with old Cameron.
I did follow Young for a little bit today, and he was striking it well.
Don't do that, Nick.
No, he was striking it well. He hit a great tee shot on the sixth.
How was the putting? How was the putting, Nick?
But putting reasonably well for the short period of time that I followed him round. From this range, Lowry played well as well. Super long, but you know, good with his irons. Mark.
And what do we say on this show every week? Cam Young is the wrong C Young, but we can't play Carson this week, can we? So although Kurt's done no models and I've done D models, I've ended up back at the same place as him, oddly enough.
Damn it!
Hatton, Fleetwood and Cantlay are my three favourites there. Hatton and Fleetwood particularly above everybody else. Spoiler alert, might be mentioned in the newsletter tomorrow. So, I don't know if you have anything else to add. No.
Fair enough. 8Ks it is then. So, Hideki Matsuyama, DeChambeau, who was mumbling some rubbish about his de-lofting mechanics not working today. Wyndham
Clark. I love that stuff.
Justin Thomas, Sam Burns, Max Homer, Sung Jae Im, Tony Finau, Tom Kim, Justin Rose, Mark, back to you.
If the ownership is as low as it's predicted at the moment, I'd be very interested in Bryson at low ownership for sure. But using models, etc. Tony Finau is my favourite player in this range. It's like third in my main model, second in my off the tee model, etc. That'd be it. You don't like the Bryson pick?
No, from what I saw today, he's overcomplicating the game of golf at the moment. He's just there's a fine line between the scientific swing and he's got too much going on in his head. He was analysing so much with the shots and no. Stand over the ball and hit it confidently. He's a great golfer, but there's too much going on in his head at the moment, I think. Didn't like what I saw from him today. Sorry, Mark.
Also, Nick, it's that simplicity that got you three sets past a 10-year-old girl at table tennis. So he needs to take a leaf out of that.
Can't overthink it. Just smack the bloody thing at her. Jack.
Right, same as Mark said, to be honest. Tony Finau's ranking really well in my model this week. He ranks third. He's got very good open history, actually. He's never missed a cut at the Open, which I was very shocked to see earlier. He's not in the best of form, we all know that. The main damage for Tony Finau is being done with the flat stick, which, you know, he might be able to find something here. Who knows? The last time we saw him was at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, where he missed the cut, but who knows, Tony? A bit of interest there. I'd be intrigued to see what the ownership does with him. But yeah, I do have interest in Bryson as well. I watched a lot of Bryson at Live London when I went there the other week. And I like what I know you think it's a bit weird, Nick, all the stuff that he goes on about, but I quite like it.
Too much for me. Too much. I was watching him at one point and I was just like, oh, Bryson, just hit the ball. Hit the ball, man. And then he hit his shot and it was an absolute stinker. I'm like, exactly what I do. Stand over the ball and think about a million swing thoughts. Kurt?
It's not that I hate this range, but I'm going to play so much Wyndham Clark that I don't want to pepper this range. I'm going to have probably 5 to 6X on Wyndham Clark. So much Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark, Wyndham Clark. And more Wyndham Clark.
Let's go.
And then, you know what? Might as well sprinkle a little Wyndham Clark while we're at it. Why not?
This range. I did follow Justin Rose at the end. He was playing really good, striking the ball really good.
Tom Kim? How's Tom Kim hitting off the tee?
Didn't see any of Tom Kim, actually. None. I didn't see him tee off at all today. None at all. There was a lot of Koreans that went out together, but I didn't see Tom Kim.
I'm intrigued by him. Intrigued. But I off the tee's been inconsistent, so I'm a little worried.
Let's have a look at the 7Ks then. As always, there's lots of them, so I'm not naming them. But I will come back to you, Kurt, for this range, first of all.
So much. Just like Wyndham Clark, just so much Taylor Gooch. He has been absolutely pounding me on LIV, and I'm going to freaking reap the benefits now. I don't care what his links history is. I've not even looked at it. I don't give a shit. All I know is he's playing elite golf right now on LIV against like 40 other D-bags. Taylor Gooch, I think, is a little bit too cheap. Probably should be like 8.4, 8.5. I'm going to play a lot of Taylor Gooch. Minwoo Lee, talk about a two-iron course. Who can hit the two-iron pretty freaking well? Minwoo Lee, Corey Connors. Oh, God, I love this range. I like Neiman and Reed too, but big emphasis on Taylor Gooch with slight interest in those guys. And then lower, Fox Henley. As you can tell, I mean, I don't really like the AK range. I'm really doing a lot here. Fox Henley, Denny, playing all those dudes. And Abraham Answer, good off the tee. That's about it. That's, well, I listed like 80 guys, but yeah, that's it. I'll play some Chris Kirk. Chris Kirk and Shaka down below too. It's a big range. I can play guys here. Come on.
Have you done a complete U-turn on Denny McCarthy then several weeks later?
Yeah, wow. Because he's 7K now. He's 7K now, so I'll play 7K Denny.
Mark, I'll come to you, and then Jack, you can mop up.
There won't be anybody left for Jack to mop up, will there?
That's exactly why I saved Jack till last, like I always left, do.
Yeah. The only one I would add to that lot, because, yeah, I've pretty much got lots of these guys in bold on my spreadsheet. Sepp Straka as well is the other one I'm interested in, right down on 7K itself.
Nice. Jack?
Like Kurt, my favourite in this range is Taylor Gooch. Kurt didn't mention the open history there, but he has his last two appearances. He's been 34th and 33rd, so he's got a little bit of history on the links. He can get it done around here. Playing the best golf of his career. Won three times, I think, on LIV this season. Was in contention at LIV London.
Yeah, he blew up. Is that what happened, Jack? You were there. I was about to be pissing out. Like, dang it, he's gonna shove it up my. I've been dominating LIV. My course have been crushing. It's been Taylor Gooch who's been ruining the party. So what happened?
I was only there the Friday, to be fair. I didn't really see a lot of Gooch. I only saw him come from one hole, actually. He looked fine on the Friday. I think it was the Sunday where he had the blow up round. So when he's sort of in contention there, but yeah, he's been fine. Your LIV calls have been smashing as well. They gave me a sweat the other day, and then Paul
I
Casey.
Saw that. Got, yeah, that was a good team.
Screw you, Paul Casey.
Yeah, agreed. Because he fought back for us, and then he gave it all back.
Exactly. Yeah, that's like, he played nine holes, and then it just like wipes off his score for the day. I was like, oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So Taylor Gooch is my favorite in this range. I like Adam Scott. Always like Adam Scott on the links. I know he missed the cut last week at the Scottish Open, but I think me and Mark mentioned it last week. He'd never played that course before. It was the first time, and I kind of mentioned that golfers that don't play certain golf courses, maybe they just don't have a feel for it. They just don't like it. So, yeah, I'm happy to go back to Adam Scott. He's got good links history, especially here. He was in contention here, I believe, in 2014 with Rory up there. He was up the top of the leaderboard with Garcia, and I think DJ was there as well. I like Minwoo Lee, we've mentioned, with the two iron. Corey Connors, he ranks inside the top 20 of my model this week. Good iron player. Don't mind going to him. I'll play some Patrick Reed. He's playing some good golf on LIV at the minute as well. Everyone hates Patrick Reed, so should keep his ownership down, which would be nice. I'd quite happily play him. I'm not playing Fagala here. This is not a Fagala golf course. No, he's going to spray this everywhere on this place.
Did you see Fagala's girlfriend on Twitter? A thick Asian with a boot. Woo! Got me. Oh, man, that got me horny as hell, man. I mean, she has a booty and she's a cute little Asian.
Can we play her in the live?
Oh, my God. I would play her at 5.5. Just like a watch her and just follow her group. Oh, I'd be in her butthole the whole time watching. You know what I mean? metaphorically, obviously. That's where you should have been at, Nick. You should have been following Teague. Like, hey, Nick, did Teague spray the ball? I have no idea. I followed his group all day, but I have no idea what he did.
No, he was actually really good.
What?
Yeah, he was really good.
I'm telling you, man.
I like Ryan Fox. I like Seymour Kim. And, I actually don't mind Kurt Kitayama. He's got relatively okay open history. He was 54th last week, so I don't actually mind him. Normally plays well on these tougher tracks. That's kind of probably me for that 7K range there.
Yeah, I think having seen what I've seen, Minwoo Lee, probably my favourite from this range. Thigala was good, though. That group was tough as well. It was Fowler, Thigala, Justin Thomas and Max Homer, I think. It was a really good group to follow for a few holes. Max Homer was probably the one that struggled the most. How remiss of me.
Shock horror, it's a major.
What was that, Jack?
I said shock horror, it's a major.
Yeah.
Max Homer always struggles.
As well, to move on without mentioning that I was on Sky. I was in the background on Sky as Justin Rose was doing a little interview. So by association, I am essentially now famous, so there we go. Yes, then just shout me out, Jack. Your any players in the 6K that you like?
Yeah, Bobby Mack. Happy to go back there. Loved what I saw from him last week. Second up in Scotland. Good open history as well. 34th last year, 8th in 2021, and 6th in 2019. Playing really some nice golf at the minute. Green across the board. Little bit wayward off the tee, which might worry me here a little bit, but yeah, he's coming in popular though, so maybe more of a cash option, Bobby Mack down here, but yeah, I do like Bobby Mack to kick in. I'm quite happy to go back there this week. I told you about Patrick Hiraten as well last week. I said to everyone that he would make the cut.
Yeah, Mark,
I got lots of like down here, but like Louis Oosthuizen and Henrik Stenson. I know, Jack, you like Henrik Stenson a little bit, don't you, as well? And Nick, yeah, you know Henrik Stenson now.
Yeah, I do. me and Henrik, like I said, I gave him the double pat for good luck. So he's due a good week.
Are you becoming part of Team Majestics?
Yeah, he was kitted out in Majestics gear as well. The bag is very bright.
So I could do a Jack and a Kurt and just name loads of players down here, but I won't. But I do like Putnam and Poston as well in the middle.
Yeah, I'm catching strays over here. But to be fair, I'm running like 190 lineups this week. So you got to have – I mean, I got to keep the pool big when you run 190. Mm. But for me down here, in single entry stuff, Robbie Mack, I think I want to be lower in big field stuff because low talk is not fun. But for single entry stuff, I really like Robbie Mack call. Brendan Grace will be in the pool. Jordan Smith will be in the pool as a chalky guy. Probably like him more in the single entry, three entry max stuff, though. Brendan Todd, I really like for MME. I like the Grillo call. And then how far are we going down here? Let's see. Taylor Moore. I like Taylor Moore. And my favorite. I play this guy at tough courses that are hard to hit fairways, and he just keeps making the cut for me. Stand up, Mr. Lee Hodges, 6.4K. That'll be most of my love. I might throw in a couple others later, but as of right now, that's where I'm setting at.
Nice. I think if anyone hasn't read it, I know you guys probably have, but Michael Kim's breakdown of the course was brilliant. Brilliant. Everything that he said is absolutely spot on as well. Some of the comments are just baffling. Just keyboard warrior golfers. Who seemingly think that they know more than as five or six plus playing golfer. I said it before, but though an unknown, I do like Matthew Jordan at 6.5, just simply because it's his home course. He qualified at West Lancs a couple of weeks ago. He was part of the Sergio Garcia, Jamie Donaldson group, big following, especially in the afternoon. he could quite easily have wilted after the good morning session that he had, and he didn't. He put in another good round in the afternoon and qualified. He was second. So it's his course. He's the pro there. So at 6.5, if you're not going to play him in DFS, I think he's about 125-1 in the odds. He might just be worth a quid or so. But I do like him there. I mean, he may not make the cut, but it's if anyone knows that course, he does. So let's build some.
Sorry, quick note. If I was going to shout out a 5K complete punt.
Yeah, I was ready to give some 5Kers.
I would go with Dan Bradbury. That's it.
Mine's Charles Schwartzel. That wonders. There you go. Yeah, mine's Charles Schwartzel.
Charles Schwartzel, he did bad in the places on Liv. That
he was good at Liv London.
Yeah, but the places that were really required you to have like accuracy off the tee, he didn't do that great. In London, the rough wasn't that thick, was it?
It was in places.
But for, I mean, we saw what Cam did though. So like, that's my like, look who won. But no, like,
I like him as a pump play down there. Yeah, he's 5'8". Like, if you've got to come down,
it's not. that's a fair point. My guy is going to be someone who my buddies bet him, and he swore by him. So I'm going to ride it with him, Marcel Siem.
Yep.
Shout out my guy Johnny. My guy Johnny loves semen, so I'm going to ride him. you don't got to talk me into semen now. I mean, come on.
He was 15th at the Open in 2021. Marcel,
yeah, there's a 5K range, bro. Go peep that. It's
actually a cut maker as well, isn't he? So
yeah,
go semen.
He teed off early. He was playing with someone, but then he just went off and played on his own again. Really good, like what I saw.
Ooh.
Let's build some lineups then. Let's have a little look. So
let's do a Rambo and Hovland one.
Let's have a little look at Ram and Hovland.
That is nice.
That's 7-2 left. I quite like Stenson at 6-2. That'll get you back up.
I like Stenson.
Stenson at 6-2. Put him in. That gets you up to 7-5.
Stenson at 6-2.
We like Gooch, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
7-8. And that takes you back down to 7-4.
I like answer Fox, Henley.
It keeps you in this range, doesn't it? I like Fox.
Yeah, I like Fox.
And just leaves you 7-4 range. Yeah, English, Henley, Siwoo Kim, Denny McCarthy.
That's solid. Anchor,
Harmon.
I dig that.
So yeah, you've got a combination there of who you could play. What does a Scheffler lineup do? So
does Scheffler burns your money, it'll light your money on fire.
Scheffler has what we can build them
straight down to 7,000. And you come down to
similar lineup build to the other one, really.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. You're gonna end up,
go and play Chalk Bobby Mack while you're at it.
Well, you could do, but let's put Hodges in this one at 6-4. Yeah. Takes you up to 7-2. Stick Siwoo Kim in this one at 7-3. I like Siwoo this week. 7-2. It just, yeah, it's basically just keeps you around the same area.
Same lineup again, isn't it?
Yeah, I like Strachan.
What about a Scotty Rory lineup?
I've not tried that one. I have, but it was brutal.
Scotty Rory. Oh god.
Oh,
you might need some of our 5K punts.
That's just never happening. It just never happening. That's why Scotty, it's ridiculous. I mean, both those guys.
Trying to find what if you started with Hatton and Fleetwood or something like that? Did you end up with a different build then?
I think that'd be more interesting to do.
Yeah.
Let's have a little look then. Hatton.
Now, you're definitely cutting the win equity, but like, Jesus. At what point do you not get a lot of this top 10 equity and just beat those guys?
Minwoo Lee.
Yeah.
Again, you could go right down to a Stenson, then you've got quite a lot. You're back up into the eights, I suspect, aren't you? What I'm saying, it doesn't have to be Stenson specifically, but if you went low again with one player, again, it gives you a different type of lineup because you're not building, you're not filling it out with sevens, then you're filling it out with eights. There you go. Oof,
yeah, it does.
You could play three in the eights. You could get rid of Minwoo and play three in the eights if you wanted to. So it gives you a different type of lineup.
Well, you could throw Wyndham Clark in there.
Yeah, Tony Finau or something like that. Doesn't, you know, you could put an Adam Rose, Scott, whatever you want to do from
Rose, league stuff. Yeah.
It's a different, slightly different type of lineup, though, to the other stars.
Several different.
I just started with Hatton, but I actually think I like the win equity it has. I mean, I got Hatton, then I went Dustin Johnson.
Nice.
Both guys can win. I went Wyndham Clark, who's already won an elevated event this year. I went Taylor Gooch, who's playing the best in his life. I went Robbie Mack, who's playing good, and I went Justin Rose, who could he could win it too. That's a good lineup.
Yeah.
I just got Hovland, Hatton, Finau, and Wyndham Clark into a lineup.
Who's your running back?
That I quite like.
That sounds tasty.
Who were you on the team?
Oh, well, yeah. I can't share that, can I? Yeah. I might keep that one in now.
Fellas, that is the last major of the year wrapped up. It has been emotional. The next big event, I guess, what are we next?
Playoffs?
FedEx Ryder Cup.
Well, Ryder Cup. We should get Kurt back on for the Ryder Cup, actually, because that would be
cool. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. I'll be talking mad shit.
Sorry, right. we got Yannick Paul to help
this
us.
Kev said this is the bottle that that Ricky needs to carry around the course. maybe he'd win a major if he did it like me.
Nice. Kurt, thanks again for coming on. Where can the listeners find you and any plugs?
Kurt and Call on Twitter, KurtAncall. RunPureSports.com, summer 33. Get you 33% off for every single sport. We just had summer league end. We had a lot of members make a lot of money. I myself cleared 2,000 in net winnings. But it's not over yet. We got NFL preseason. I'll be doing the playbooks. NBA preseason, I'll do the playbooks. And we have FIBA World Cup basketball coming up, and that's my specialty. It mixes a little bit of summer league, basically some college, some like freaking EuroLeague, especially. It mixes all that together in one bottle, and I'll be covering all the content for that. I can't wait. So come over. Hopefully we have just as much success as we did in summer league. I imagine we did, because we did pretty good in the Olympics. So come check us out. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Nice. Thank you again. Thank you, Kurt. Jack, Matt, where can the listeners find you both?
You can find me on the Twitter at Jack Comfrey DFS. The newsletter will be out tomorrow. All good fun.
Yeah, find me usual place. Nothing much has changed since last week.
Cool.
Find him on Twitter at FPL Smurf.
And you can find me on Twitter or possibly lurking in the background of some Sky Sports image as well, potentially. Enjoy the Open. It's going to be a good one. Great course. And we will see you next Tuesday.
You won't me. But yeah, cheers, guys.
Enjoy your holiday, Jack.
I will.